Hello everyone, Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today we're on What is the Christ, and we're on Lesson 273. What is the Christ? Christ is God's Son as He created Him. He is the true self we share, uniting us with one another and with God as well. He is the thought, which still abides within the mind, that is His source. He has not left His holy home, nor lost the innocence in which He was created. He abides unchanged forever in the mind of God.
Christ is the link that keeps you one with God and guarantees the separation is no more than an illusion of despair, for hope forever will abide in Him. Your mind is part of His and His of yours. He is the part in which God's answer lies, where all decisions are already made and dreams are over. He remains untouched by anything the body's eyes perceive. For though in Him His Father placed the means for your salvation, yet does He remain the true self who, like His Father, knows no sin.
Home of the Holy Spirit, and at home in God alone, does Christ remain at peace within the heaven of your holy mind. This is the only part of you that has reality and truth. The rest is dreams. Yet will these dreams be given unto Christ to fade before His glory and reveal your holy self, the Christ, to you at last.
The Holy Spirit reaches from the Christ in you to all your dreams and bids them come to Him, to be translated into truth. He will exchange them for the final dream which God appointed as the end of dreams. For when forgiveness rests upon the world and peace has come to every son of God, what could remain to keep things separate? For what remains to see except Christ's face?
And how long will this holy face be seen when it is but the symbol that the time for learning now is over, and the goal of the atonement has been reached at last. So, therefore, let us seek to find Christ's face and look on nothing else. As we behold His glory, will we know we have no need of learning or perception or of time or anything except the Holy Self, the Christ whom God created as His Son. What is the Christ?
Lesson 273. The stillness of the peace of God is mine. Perhaps you are now ready for a day of undisturbed tranquility. If this is not yet feasible, we are content and even more than satisfied to learn how such a day can be achieved. If we give way to a disturbance, let us learn how to dismiss it and return to peace. We need but tell our minds with certainty, "The stillness of the peace of God is mine," and nothing can intrude upon the peace that God Himself has given to His Son.
Father, Your peace is mine. What need have I to fear that anything can rob me of what You would have me keep? I cannot lose Your gifts to me. And so the peace You gave Your Son is with me still, in quietness and in my own eternal love for You. Lesson 273, The Stillness of the Peace of God is Mine.
Oh, I love that lesson.
Can you remember that? That's one of those lessons. It's like, I do not remember that one at all.
The only reason I remember it is we have a friend who can like recite A Course in Miracles. Like it feels like she can recite the whole book. Mm-hmm. And I remember her just kind of saying that the stillness of the peace of God is mine. Mm. And that how comforting that was for her. So other than that, that's how I remember it. And I love this because it's like sometimes we need a how-to. And today is like a how-to because he says, you know, perhaps you are now ready for a day of undisturbed tranquility. And like, who among us would not say, oh, yes, you know, I'm totally ready for a day of tranquility. But he said, well, okay, if this is not yet feasible, we are content and even more than satisfied to learn how such a day can be achieved. So then anytime we experience any sort of disturbance, we say, the stillness of the peace of God is mine.
That's such a different perspective than the normal belief that if we want tranquility, we have to go to a special spot, whether it's the beach, it could be in the mountains, hiking somewhere, or wherever. We think tranquility is somewhere else.
Yeah.
Where we're learning today, tranquility can be right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like yesterday's lesson, heaven can be chosen just as easily as hell, and love will replace, well, will happily replace all fear. So that stillness and tranquility, that's chosen just as easily as the disturbance. That's chosen just as easily as not peace. Like, which one do we want to choose? But also that, to me, that also leads to action. Because if I'm wanting tranquility in my life today, I'm going to make different choices.
I believe that's why he has this sentence in our lesson for today. We need but tell our minds with certainty. Like, we have to have some oomph behind it.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't have a question mark at the end. The stillness of the peace of God is mine?
Right, very yeah. timidly.
Yeah, we
it's
can't.
It's more like, yes, the stillness of the peace of God is mine.
Really, we do. And when we tell ourselves that with certainty, but not just tell ourselves, but really state that, our brains will start looking for that in the world.
Right, right.
But then, like I said, we also will take different actions. If I'm saying the stillness of the peace of God is mine, but let's say the movie I want to watch, that'll make me question that. Is that really contributing to stillness? The music I listen to, is that contributing to my stillness? The people I'm around, is that contributing to stillness?
So when you said the movie I want to watch, you're saying, like, am I choosing movies and music and even people that would lend ourselves to getting to this peaceful place, as opposed to movies and people and music that will maybe take us down?
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. If we're around folks who are, you know, not very kind to us, maybe they're always picking at us, making fun of us, and then they say, well, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to help with our stillness. If we're filling our brains with movies and other and TV shows that we find, like, I used to watch more movies, not like right before bedtime, but like as I was getting to bedtime, and I found, like, oh, wow, I was more agitated, and so I couldn't sleep as well. And so then I had a shift of what am I paying attention to? What am I consuming the closer I get to bedtime? Because then if that amps me up, I can't then go to sleep as well.
Right.
So it's like even that contributes to stillness.
One thing that's been coming up in our coaching practice that I really wasn't aware of this in life, and this is just coming up for me because I'm thinking, okay, so like the people that we surround ourselves with, there's a lot of gaslighting that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much more common than you think. You know,
well, no, you think it's just like the gaslighting movie where it's some guy who's has some ulterior motive and he's just mean and cruel. We think it's just these one-offs.
Right. And it's not. Like, I think gaslighting is part of how people relate to one another. You know, they really discount other people's experiences or try to twist and turn something so that the person then starts thinking, well, am I this? And we all, you know, being really intentional about who we allow into our lives, who we give the privilege of being with. I mean, you know, it's a privilege to be with us, mm-hmm. every single one of us. I'm not talking about an Aunt Neda. I'm talking, you know, when you start treating yourself as the Holy Son of God, that's what we all are, you know, then some of these behaviors we just won't allow in, because it's really impossible to see ourselves as who we truly are when we're being gaslit all the time.
Really?
And believing it.
Yeah.
And allowing that to even take place in our lives.
So if you're being gaslit, obviously we're not psychologists or something like that. We're just two gals talking.
Well, we're coaches that have a lot of training too.
That's
and experience in seeing these things play out in life.
True. So how do you get past that? Because I don't want to just like gloss over and we move on, because those are the real world experiences we deal with that change our perception of ourselves and make finding this peace and love that's inside of us harder to recognize.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because we can just say, you know, choose again and change our perception. And then let's say you are in a relationship where there's a bunch of gaslighting going on toward you. Well, that number one, I think, first of all, remember those blind spots that we were talking about the other day. Sometimes we don't realize it's been going on for so long. We don't realize that this is how we're allowing other people to treat us. And I say it that way, we're allowing because we can't control other people. And so if we allow other people to treat us that way, then that's just going to be the environment that we are in. But if we say, no, you cannot treat me that way. So what does that look like? It would look different for all the different relationships. This is where we turn it over and we ask the Holy Spirit and we say, you know, this gaslighting makes it impossible for me to see who I truly am. It's so overwhelming that we can't see. And, you know, I need help. And the Holy Spirit will help us to find the help we need, find the guidance we need, give us the strength we need to take whatever action that we need to take,
mm-hmm.
in order for the situation to change. Could be leaving the relationship. It could be going to counseling or coaching with the partner or by yourself. You know, it could be a number of different solutions to it. But to me, it's really recognizing some of these very unhealthy patterns that are present in our lives and in our relationships is the start.
Part of that is also in the beginning of chapter 30, there's a section called Rules for Decision. And every day, before you get out of bed, you just open your eyes. You haven't even looked at your phone yet. Before your feet touch the floor, you make a decision about what kind of day you want to have. And that's different than, okay, well, today I want to make sure I get to the grocery store. I want to have a good day of work. I have a few clients I need to see.
And it's different than the power of positive thinking, because it's not you just taking the reins of your day. It's turning your day over.
Well, in a sense, the reins we take are being ready and willing, where we're deciding we want to come from love today. Those are our reins. The specifics of it are, like you said, where we don't decide what that's going to look like.
Yes. Yeah. The power of positive thinking that I'm thinking about is, I'm going to hit all the red lights today.
Green lights.
Or green lights today. maybe I need a break. I'm going to get all the red lights today. Yeah, but more of like specific outcomes.
Yes. Yeah.
This is just all about the power of decision is like, what do you want your day to look like in terms of the feel of it?
Right. So the first part of that is, today I will make no decisions by myself.
Yeah.
So if we have this decision that today is a day I want to come from love, and that's what we put our attention on, then we have to say, okay, today I'll make no decisions by myself. When I make decisions by myself, it's a day coming from that ego thought system.
Right.
When I make, if I then accidentally say, oh, dang it, I went back into the ego thought system. If I do that, then we say, turn it over again. So there's today I'll make no decisions by myself. If I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. So this is the day of love. It's so important not to attach a form to that, but also have our mind and our heart set on what we really want out of the day. That's so important. And it's not just the power of positive thinking, because that can also feel so forced.
Well, it takes a lot of responsibility. It just takes, if we're not turning our life over, then we have to figure this all out. But
that's right where we already are.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to say that. That's right where there's one of my friends, whenever I have a deep discussion with her and we're talking about things like this, she makes the power of decision simple. She just says, the first thing I do in the morning is get up and say, I choose love.
Mm-hmm.
I choose love. And that really, then that just brings that guidance into our life.
That's the decision.
Yeah.
Because paragraph one of what is the Christ? Christ is God's son as he created him. Still as he created him. That's who we really are. He's the true self we share, uniting us with one another and with God as well. He is the thought which still abides within the mind that is his source. He has not left his holy home, nor lost the innocence in which he was created. He abides unchanged forever in the mind of God. That could be our decision. I am unchanged forever in the mind of God. Now, if I'm showing up to whichever meetings I'm at, if I'm showing up to the gas station from the perspective, from the perception, I am unchanged forever in the mind of God. I have not left my holy home. I've not lost my innocence in which I was created. Totally different experience. Because we can show up, I gotta get gas. If you're like me, all those little handles are kind of dirty. this kind of an inconvenience. I have other stuff I want to do, and I gotta, I gotta plan my turns so I can really make sure I'm getting in there the easiest. You can have this whole thing behind it, not just I'm gonna get gas, but if I'm showing up, I have to get gas and I'm unchanged forever in the mind of God. Does the gas really mean that much, or is it just part of it?
Yeah, what I've done with this lesson a few times, and the reason I did it was just kind of what happened, because there were so many he's in the first paragraph. I thought,
no ha-has?
No, I didn't find any ha-has. I just found all these he's. And I got mixed up. So this is, I've done that paragraph this way a few times, and I have found this helpful. So I wanted to share that. So Christ is God's son as God created his son. And then I go to me. He is the true self we share. And then I am the true self we share, uniting us with one another and with God as well. I am the thought which still abides within the mind that is my source. And it's really like the universal I, just not me and that, the individual, but the I. I have not left my holy home or lost the innocence in which I was created. I abide forever, unchanged forever in the mind of God. I abide unchanged forever in the mind of love. That helps me with all the he's.
I like that too.
And it helps me to understand on a different level.
I agree.
Level.
And we're going to have to continue this tomorrow, because I could just go off.
Okay. So,
but it's already been 20 minutes.
Oh,
the time
already.
Goes so fast.
Okay.
And so I want to really, I don't want to just say what I want to say quick.
Okay.
I don't want to just say, oh yeah, that was nice. So yeah, let's put a pin in this and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. So have a wonderful day practicing lesson 273. The stillness of the peace of God is mine. See you tomorrow.
See you then.